Now we're going to just turn to the Word of God for a few moments tonight, realizing the time is quickly gone. I'd like to thank all those that took part tonight and participated in this, especially our young people, and of course our brother and sister give reports concerning their work in the college. And I trust that you'll pray for them and pray that God will undertake for our brother in his the Greek. And then, of course, whenever he gets past all of that hurdle, then he goes on to the hurdle of the Hebrew. But, of course, that will come as second nature to him whenever he gets to that second part of the journey. But do pray for him, that God will undertake for him. And it's so important, and I believe this with all my heart, if a person is going into a ministry and is going into a ministry for a number of years as a pastor of a congregation, I think it is of vital importance that a person is prepared for the ministry. I do not believe that people can just somehow just walk in as if that they don't need anything, need no preparation, that somehow that they can just take the place by storm without study. The Word of God says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I do believe it's vitally important that these young men are taught in our college and trained in our college to be good students of the Word. And then I believe that under that and under God, then they can go out to be good preachers and good ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to pray that God will send more of our young men into the college and that God will call others into the harvest field, because the fields are white already to harvest. Now, I want just a few verses from God's Word this evening as we draw to a close in the book of James on the chapter number 4. And there are just four verses that I want to read in James chapter 4, and commencing to read at the verse number 7 down to verse number 10. And as we have God's Word open before us, just let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight and we thank Thee for the call of God. We thank Thee for those that Thou hast called to be ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for those that Thou hast called in this congregation in days that are past. And, our God, they have gone at Thy call and at Thy commission, and now they're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You'll bless them, Lord, whether it be our brother Morris over there in Bristol, our brother Ian over in Scotland, oh God, our young brother David over there in Portland Owen, our brother Mr. McKee here in Macrofelt. Oh God, we thank Thee for these young men. Our brother Andrew, that Thou art, Lord, has called into the college at this present moment. And for Stephen as well, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt, Lord, go before and guide and, Lord, open up the door that Thou would have him to go through. And so, Lord, we commit them to Thee, and we commit all of these young men. And we pray for our sister. We pray that You'll bless Alana. And, Lord, open up the door that You want for her. Thank You for our sister Pat with us tonight. We pray that You'll bless her. We thank You for her years of service for the Master. We pray that Thou wilt use her and continue to use her, Lord, for Thine honor and for Thy glory. Lord, do us good tonight and bless our souls, even in the closing moments of this meeting. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. James chapter 4, the verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, sometimes at this occasion we look back into a year that has passed, but time is quickly gone. And we're just simply looking into a year in the will of God that is to come. And I know that many make New Year's resolutions. Some people make the resolutions of their dieting. And then there's others make resolutions they're going to exercise more. Others make resolutions they're going to have financial propriety. And they're going to look after their finances in a better way. Sad to say, for many, whenever they make those resolutions, quite often they die on the vine very quickly, and they're finished very, very quickly. But I do believe that we have here before us some resolutions that you and I can make. I remember hearing a little boy saying that he asked his daddy one day, "Daddy, what New Year resolution have you got?" And daddy says, "Well, I have resolved in my heart that I'm going to make your mommy a very, very happy woman this year." And then he looked at him, his daddy, and he thought for a moment. Then he walked over to mommy and said, "Mommy, tell me, what's your New Year's resolution?" And she says, "Son, I am resolved this year that your father is going to keep his word." And so therefore, he was going to make her the happiest person in the community. But I believe that in these verses tonight, there are things that every child of God can really resolve and ought to really resolve. First of all, if you look at verse number 7, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." And the first resolve is this: resolve to relinquish. Relinquish. The first issue here is submission. And I wonder tonight, as we come to a new year, for now we're in 2015. We've actually moved into the year 2015. I wonder, as you face this new year, what you're willing to relinquish to God. It says here, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." I wonder, are there areas in your life that you're holding out on the Lord on? Perhaps there's things in your life, my friend, that before God you know that there's areas in your life that you haven't given God complete control. We sing the words, "Go through with God thy vows to pay, thine life upon the altar lay, the Holy Ghost will do the rest, and will bring to you God's very best." Now, I know that in this age in which we're living, the word, there's many people, and they're recoiled from that word, submit, submit, because we're living in an age of rebellion. And friends, it is true, from the youngest child, it seems to be that the little children are rebelling against their parents at a very, very young age. We have students that are rebelling against their teachers. We have workers that are rebelling against the management of those who employ them. And I believe that even the greater tragedy is this: we have even believers who rebel against the discipline of the Church of Jesus Christ. They rebel against submission unto the Lord. And you know, today's slogan is not submit. There's another slogan that you could write across this age, and it's this: reassert. Reassert. And my friend, people are saying, "Listen, assert yourself. Assert yourself. You've got rights. You assert your rights." And that's the theme of this age in which we live. Now, God says here in this verse simply tonight, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." And that's the first resolve I trust that you will make tonight under God, that you will resolve before God to relinquish your claims and relinquish your rights, relinquish your wrongs. If there are sins in your life tonight, things that you know that's in your heart that's not, you're not right with God in, and there are things that's holding you back from blessing, then in God's name, let go tonight. Let go of them, because you'll never prove the delights of God's love until all on the altar you lay. Relinquish the things that are wrong, the sins in your life. The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews, "Let us lay aside every weight." And then it says, and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Relinquish those things you've been holding on to that are wrong. But I'm going to say something else. Relinquish your rights as well as your wrongs. Your rights, in other words, the ownership of your life. You know, it's so easy to sing the wee verse of the wee chorus, "He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord." And then you can sing the next verse, He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Friend, tonight, is that really true? Have you relinquished all the rights and handed your life completely over to God? I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not asking you something that's unreasonable. God is asking you to take your hand off the wheel and let God take control, complete control of your life. And friend, let me tell you this, as long as you put your hand on the wheel and you're holding out on God and you're holding back from God, I'll tell you, you won't know the fullness of the joy of the blessing of the Lord until you let God have his way. Oh, it's so easy to sing the wee chorus again. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no peace, there's no joy until God has his way. Friend, that's all true. That's all true. It's all true, but tell me, have you let God have his way? Are you letting God have his way tonight? Or are you holding out on God? And the first result is this: relinquish. Submit yourselves. Submit yourself completely. Just hand your life into God's hand. And listen, here's a new year, and there's not one of us know what it holds for us. It may be the days of laughter. It may be the days of joy. It may be the mountaintops of joy and laughter and song, or maybe the valleys of trials and troubles. But friend, whatever God has for you or me, remember this: as for God, his way is perfect. God knows the plan. Thank God he's designed the plan. And sometimes through the waters and sometimes through the floods, sometimes through the fire. But thank God we're through the blood. And tonight I trust and pray that that will be the first resolve in this meeting tonight in your heart as you face this new year. Oh God, by your grace, I'm going to resolve to relinquish. I'm going to relinquish my rights. I'm going to hand my life completely over to thee, Lord. And say, Lord, please have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Not in part of my life, but God, have it all. And friend, you'll know joy. You'll know real joy if you give your life completely unto him. Then go to verse 7 again, very quickly. Not only does it say submit yourselves, therefore, to God, but it says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the second thing is this: not only resolve to relinquish, but resolve to resist. Now you say, my friend, yes, there are people, and boy, they know how to resist because they get a hump up on their back, and I can tell you they could resist an ox. But let me tell you, my friend, many times God's people are not good at this. They're not good at this. Because I'll tell you this, one of the things that many of God's people find hard to say is no. No. Whenever there's a temptation to wrong, and my whenever seems to be totally unpopular to take a stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to take your stand, whether it be in school or whether it be in the workplace or wherever it be, many of God's people find it hard to say no. They just go with the flow. The word of God says this: resist the devil. Resist is a defensive word. Stand firm against the devil. Over in 1 Peter in the chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And as a Christian, you'll not need to go out and pick a fight with the devil. That's one thing you need. Let me tell you, friend, he's already on the field. He's already on the field. And if you think that you have to go and pick a fight with the devil, friend, there's something wrong, because there's an adversary out there. And my, he will constantly take the initiative against you, the child of God. He'll fight you. He'll come at you. My, he'll try to destroy you. But remember this. This is what God says. Does he say run from the field? No. He says resist him. In God's name, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. And God's child has got an adversary, the devil. And I can tell you, you're not neutral. You're not in a neutral position, because the devil's already against you. And friend, if you're on the Lord's side, the devil's against you. And he'll do everything to stop you. But God says we're to resist him. We're to resist him. We'd resist his arguments, because remember, he's a liar.
But the old devil will put up arguments. My, he'll tell you why you shouldn't serve the Lord. Why you shouldn't be out and out for the Lord. My, the devil will give you all the reasons why. That in this year you should sit back and let others do the graft and let others do the work. Resist the devil's arguments, friend. Because the devil's a liar. Resist the devil's attractions. Because I'll tell you this. The devil will put things in your pathway to try to stop you going for God, friend. It put attractive things. And maybe it's people. Might put attractive people in your path to stop you from serving God and doing that. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14, that the devil can come as an angel of light. He doesn't always come with the idea of the hoofs and the horns. But my, he comes as an angel of light. And therefore, he comes in an attractive way. Remember whenever, you know, I do not believe that whenever the devil came to talk to Eve, and he came as a serpent, I do not believe that Eve was scared, because the devil at that time was attractive in his way. The Lord said, from that moment, on thy belly shalt thou go. But the devil would have been, he was more subtle, he was very attractive. And the devil will be attractive, friend, to try and stop you in serving the Lord. And he'll come as an angel of light. But you're to resist him. Not only are you to resist his arguments, resist his attractions, you're to resist his attacks. But the old devil will come, because the devil's cruel, friend. And he'll come in a cruel fashion. He's heartless. He's callous beyond imagination. And the devil has this purpose: to harm and to hurt and humiliate the child of God. And friend, let me tell you, the Bible says you're to be vigilant. You're to be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil. And there's an enemy on the field already. And he's out to destroy the child of God. And we have to resist him in Jesus' name. See, how do we resist him? Well, we resist him by being aware and beware of his devices. Yes, we have to watch out what devices the devil uses in his craftiness. The Bible says we're neither to give place to the devil, Ephesians 4, verse 27. That means leave no room or foothold for the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. And friends, sometimes God's people give the devil an opportunity to give him a foothold. And boy, he's quickly on the field. He'll quickly be on the job. But you see, how to resist him, I'll tell you. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you, friend, you'll not resist the devil by a clever argument. Because I'll tell you, he'll outwit your argument. If you think that you'll be smarter than he is, the Bible says he was more subtle than any beast of the field. More subtle. So therefore, you and I have got to be careful. And we have to beware of his devices. And we have to give no place to the devil. But we have to put on the whole armor of God. I remember a dear brother many, many years ago. And he's in glory now. And I remember him saying to me when we were in Israel one time. This brother said to me, every morning, preacher, in life, before I go out to work. And he was a big businessman. And he said, before I go out to work, he says, I take down Ephesians chapter 6. And piece by piece, he says, I put on the whole armor of God that God has given in Ephesians chapter 6. And I say, Lord, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And Lord, I'm putting on the shoes, the shoes of peace. And friend, let me tell you, piece by piece, put on the whole armor of God. Now notice what God says. Don't you get scared of the devil. Let me tell you, friend, don't you get overcome by the devil. Remember this, he is potent. But thank God he's not omnipotent. He is strong. But hallelujah, he's not supreme. Because there's a greater than he has come. And God has given you armor for the battle. And we're to put on the whole armor of God. And this is what God says. Resist the devil. Remember the promise. And he shall flee from you. Thank God there's victory. And child of God, I beg you in God's name, don't you try to fight the devil in your own strength, because I can tell you, he'll lay you flat. He will. And if you think you'll step out onto the field and I'll take him on. That's the old man. That's the old flesh. And I want to tell you that you take him on, friend, and I can tell you, he'll not be long. He'll destroy your testimony if you're standing in your own strength. But thank God you don't need to be overcome. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And get your eyes on him. And so as we face this new year, in God's name, I beg you, I say, first of all, resolve to relinquish. Submit yourself to God. Resolve to resist. And then verse 8, and we'll finish here. Resolve to repent. It says here, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It simply means, come close to God, friend. And I earnestly pray in my own heart, oh God, draw me closer, closer, blessed Lord, closer to your precious bleeding side. Notice what it says there. Cleanse your hands and purify your heart. The cleansing your hands, now that's not the question of hygiene. In Old Testament, the priest's ritual in preparation for drawing near to God always included the washing of their hands. That's an external cleansing. Cleansing of our habits, our actions, our deeds, our language. Cleanse your hands. Purify your heart. That's the internal cleansing of the heart. And friend, we need that day by day cleansing. That God will give us victory over old habits. The sinful actions that we repent of them and put them away, and language which is not the language of the child of God, that we'll have done with it. And then within, evil thoughts. The word of God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It goes on to say, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. And friend, let me tell you, that's a different advice than the advice of this age. You know what it is? Eat, drink, and be merry. But God says something else. God's child is to be happy. I believe there ought to be no happier person in God's creation than the child of God. But friend, let me tell you this. The Christian life is not a game. The Christian living is not a playful performance. The Word of God says, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And I ask you this question as we close. When was the last time that you mourned over sin? The sinfulness of your own heart. When was the last time that bothered you? When was the last time that you mourned for the sin of your own heart? Do you remember Peter? And do you remember the Lord simply looked at Peter, and Peter remembered. He remembered what the Lord had said to him before the cock crow. Thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He wept over his sin. There's not one in this meeting tonight of God's children, friend. But examining our heart for 2014, there's not one of us can say we haven't sinned. But did we see that our sin broke the heart of God? That our sin hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ? that our sin could cause the enemies of the Lord to laugh and the cause of Christ to be reproached. Nehemiah, and we're looking at that in our Bible study in prayer meeting. And when he heard about the reproach of God's people in the gates of the city, down and in ruins, it broke his heart. When was the last time that you or I wept with a real broken heart over the sin of our nation? And friend, if the answer is, preacher, I can't remember, probably that's the honest one. That's probably the honest answer. I can't remember when the last time that I wept over the sin of my nation. Let me ask you, when was the last time you wept over a non-converted loved one? Wilmer Chalmer Burns, as a young lad, was sitting in the streets of Scotland. His mother went into a shop to do some shopping. She came out, and he was sitting there, and he was crying with a broken heart. And his mother put her arms around him, and she said, William, what's wrong, son? What's wrong? And he says, Mother, can you not hear? Can you not hear, Mother? She says, what? Hear what, son? Can you not hear countless feet on the road to hell? And it broke his heart. I read the other evening of two young youth workers, and one was Fred and one was Arthur. And Arthur looked at his friend, Fred, and he said to him, Fred, I see the tears in your eyes. He says, why are you crying? And the answer from Fred was this. Standing amongst a group of his young people, they don't know my Savior. They don't know my Savior. And it broke his heart. Friend, be honest before God. Is it not time that we repented? Resolve to relinquish. Resolve to resist. Resolve by God's grace to repent. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. Oh, may God lift us up tonight, having humbled our hearts before Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that Thou will speak to hearts, the hearts of Your people. Oh God, make us different in this new year. Make us a people that love the lost souls of men and women. Help us, our God, to resolve to relinquish our claims, our rights, our wrongs. Help us, our God, to resist the devil when he'll have to flee from us. But, oh God, help us to draw nigh, come near to God. Oh God, and He shall draw nigh to us. Lord, if there be someone tonight and they're not saved, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, let them not go into a new year without Christ. But Lord, save them. Save them now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.